This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Bea Reinhart from Need to Breathe. So wonderful to have you joining us today. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm so excited to talk to you today because I'm a huge fan. So I'm going to try my best not to come across as a little bit nuts in this interview. But if I do, my apologies.
No, I appreciate it.
Now, what is the secret to your amazing voice? Is there a secret?
No. I think practice, maybe. I don't know. I go back and listen to records that I sang on 10 years ago. I sound like a different person. So
really?
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I think my voice has gotten a lot scruffier over the years. I don't know if that's... We've been doing 200 shows a year for the last 6 years, so it's probably a little bit of a product of that.
Well, I'm loving the rasp. Every now and then I try to impersonate you, and it comes out so bad.
Well, you know, it's... You are female, and I'm a dude, so that's hard to do, I would imagine.
That's true. Now, The Outsiders, the album. Very excited. New album is out. What is the concept behind this? Because the artwork to it is very interesting.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people ask us, there's a horse on the front with a, it's actually an O around its eye for The Outsiders. And some people don't know why that's on there, but it's kind of like a Scarlet Letter sort of idea.
Okay.
You know, we had a couple of different ideas for the imaging of the record, but The Outsiders is really about us as a band. I mean, we were from a really small town, and when you kind of get going, and the music business happens a lot in New York and L.A., and we never felt all that comfortable in that scene. And but you know, we signed with Atlantic Records, and there was a Led Zeppelin and Otis Redding, people like that. Hey, it was big time bands. It kind of scared us to death, to be honest, when we first signed with them, so it was a little overwhelming. I think it took time for us to embrace who we were, and I think that goes into a lot of what The Outsiders is about. And also, we have our main record deal is with a secular record company, and obviously we're Christian, so you know, we felt a little bit on the outside looking in on both sides of that point. I mean, you know, the Christian market, we feel a little out of place, and we feel a little out of place in the secular world too. But I think the record was about us embracing the differences and feeling like, you know, it's definitely a strength that we have something to bring to the table, maybe a little outside the box.
This small town you talk about, is that Possum Kingdom?
It is. And people think we're joking when we say that, even over here, you know. But it's a real town.
You know, it does conjure up an image of possums ruling this small town, and there is a kingdom of them, and a queen and king.
Right. I don't know what, you know, would give somebody the notion that they might ought to name a town that, but there probably were more possums than people in that town that we lived in. So it was one of these little places, a country store, and no stoplights or stop signs or anything, just the one little store. It was kind of the one-stop shop for everything. Get your haircut there, the bank, you know, everything.
Haircut at the bank while you're waiting?
Yeah, it's all in one. Gas, groceries, insurance, whatever you need.
Well, tell us, how did you come from being in Possum Kingdom to, you know, forming this amazing band and then touring the States?
You know, I have no idea exactly how it happened. My brother's in the band with me, and I've known the other guys in the band since we were kids, since we were 7 or 8. So we got out of college and decided, you know, let's give this thing a shot, which is everyone around us is kind of telling us that's crazy and don't do it.
Really?
And, I actually played football, American football in college, and thought about going pro, and my brother had done some acting and stuff. Those things that we kind of, you know, had some other options out there, and music business can obviously be a little bit of a crazy career choice, so we decided, let's give this thing a couple of years and see how it goes, and we fell in love with it, and there was just enough of the doors opening that allowed us to get to the place we're at now. And we really just kind of took it on. We wanted to be a self-sufficient kind of band. We've co-produced all the records, so we have our own studio and do a lot of the work there. And my brother, Bo, does all the artwork, you know, for the record and everything, and even merchandise and all that kind of stuff. So we just really, we kept as many things, you know, in the family and in-house as possible. Mm. And I think it served us well. And we just worked hard. You know, people come up to us and ask us all the time, you know, how do you get it going in it? We played everywhere that would have us, to be honest. You know, it was like the old, you know, need to breathe in the puppet show kind of thing. I first got going, and it's been a real cool ride. And the things are going so well right now. It's very rewarding. I think, especially, you know, having been doing it so long.
Speaking about co-producing, did you have three producers on this new album, The Outsiders?
We did. Yeah, to be honest with you, we just like to steal as much as we can as far as, you know, expertise. Because we have our own studio, I mean, we always kind of make a wish list every time we make a record and think, who we would, you know, it's really as much as, you know, who we'd like to record with, who we'd like to learn from. And so this record was definitely that way. And we worked with a guy, Jim Scott, who had done our favorite, like, Tom Petty records.
Right.
Really classic rock kind of stuff. Very old school, doesn't own a computer, you know. It's very, everybody get in a room and play it together kind of guy. And then we worked with this guy, John Alasia, who had done the first Dave Matthews record and John Mayer record. And, you know, it was just, and we worked with Rick Beato, who had done the last couple of records with us, you know, at least parts of them. So it was fun. I think it keeps it fresh, too. I mean, you're only in a studio for a couple of weeks, and then you go home for a couple of weeks and go somewhere else. And I think the record kind of sounds like a mess, definitely on purpose. We're really proud of that. It feels like it's coming from a lot of different places.
I love it. It does. It jumps around. It's like you got this awesome gospel song laying down, and then it goes a bit country, and you're like, whoa! And it's awesome on the ears, I must say.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, our producers, I mean, literally would turn around and be like, you sure you want to do this? because most bands, I think, you know, go into it with, you know, kind of an idea, theme for the music. And this one, we really didn't want it to be that way. We wanted to kind of approach the individual songs and do whatever was best for them. And so it's there's some ambient rock on there, and there's some country, and there's some, you know, kind of rootsy stuff. And then there's, you know, I think it was a lot of fun for us either way to make it. And you know, I'm proud of how it does. You can still listen to it. It sounds like the same band, but it definitely kind of is coming from a different place.
Speaking about those different places, you know, you obviously draw from a lot of different genres of music. What is probably your favorite, though, or the ones that you kind of cling to?
I love soul, you know, and that doesn't mean necessarily soul music, but just music to have soul in it. I used to like, you know, like Otis Redding and Ray Charles, those kind of guys. And then, you know, even bands later on, like the Black Crowes and things like that. So I really was intrigued by that. I think growing up in the church, my dad was a preacher, and I think, you know, church music, kind of the old school kind of church music, the original, you know, and I'm really intrigued by that. I love gospel, but I think the different, me and my brother both write songs, so it kind of comes from a bunch of different, Bo is really into the kind of Brit pop thing. He really likes Travis and all these kind of, you know, and he likes Enya, for example.
Really?
So, like, he likes a lot of the big soundscape kind of thing.
No offense, so, Bear, but I don't think you can sing like Enya at all.
I can't.
No.
I there's no way that's happening.
But I'm really happy about that as well.
No, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think an Enya cover record is anywhere in the near future. So.
No. Speaking about the themes, I mean, pretty amazing songs you've had in the past. Washed by the Water, you've got Lay 'Em Down. These are just two songs for me that just kind of stand out and just kind of shake me up a bit. Yeah. But, you know, what are the themes that you're trying to push with your music? What are you trying to, I suppose, draw people in on?
Yeah, I think the thing that we learned early on, we made our first record, we went to England to make, and we were just, you know, like I mentioned before, we were just kind of overwhelmed by the whole process. I think the way we were raised, we were just very humble. We really yielded to a lot of other opinions early on. And I think the thing that we just came to realize over time was that if things were going to connect, it was going to have to be real sincere emotions on our part. You know, we were going to have to be as honest and, you know, as forthright as possible. And so I think that's something that we really built our whole career on. And, you know, on the second record, Washed by the Water is a great example of when we wrote that song. I mean, it was a true story about me and Bo's dad. And you know, it was one of those things, like, even if somebody didn't have the same kind of situation that we did, for some reason, like, sincerity is kind of the universal language, you know. And I think people people, we could tell, like, they just reacted to it in a different way. And also us taking our music, you know, out of that small town and into all the, you know, different places in the country and finding out what really connected. And that was something for us. It's just, the more we wore our heart on our sleeve, the more people reacted to it. And so I think that's really kind of behind everything we try to do.
Today, what song do you reckon does stick out making the biggest impact on people or feedback that you've heard?
It's hard to say. We're so overwhelmed, I think, by how that whole process works. I mean, I'm still every day kind of blown away by how music is able to do those things. You know, we write these songs in our first couple of records, we were writing the songs in our bass player's dad's garage. Mm. And, you know, and they would go and it would turn into this thing that Washed by the Water was. And people would come up with all kinds of different stories. And we had a song called More Time on our last record, which was not a Christian single. It was on a movie, a romantic kind of comedy movie called P.S. I Love You.
Oh, I've seen
it. It did really, really well, you know, and that song just, it blew up because of that. And what was amazing is it was a kind of a relational song that we wrote to our families about how long it was taking to kind of get anywhere in the music business. Mm. And people were coming up to us and saying stuff like, you know, this song saved my marriage. It was just blowing us away because, you know, we could have never intended, you know, to have that kind of impact, I think, when we first, you know, sat down and wrote the songs. But it just keeps coming back, which is just amazing for us to be a part of.
How have you seen God, you know, using your music?
You know, I think it's pretty unique, I think, with our band because, you know, I was talking to my other day, and we never set out to be, you know, a Christian band. You know, we always thought the label of that, or the labeling of the band in that way, kind of it almost limited us, I think, especially because it seemed like, you know, you had to share our faith to like our music, and we didn't think that was true. You know, we've always felt like we were making music for people who aren't Christians. You know, and I think even now, more and more, we're always trying to clear our minds of what other Christians might think of what we do or say, because really trying to have our heart set and our mindset on, you know, what people who are unsaved might think. I think that's, you know, unfortunately not the case all the time with Christian bands. It seems like sometimes it's a little bit of you know, and not a bad way, because I think that they obviously have just a different vision. So I think what's been really unique with us is just the opportunities we've gotten to play. We get to play a lot of clubs and those kind of venues, secular venues, and I think we get to play to people that, you know, might not go to a church or might not listen to Christian radio, and those opportunities have really, it was something that we always felt like, you know, was on our hearts and what that we wanted to do, but the fact that it's actually happening now is you know, it's very fulfilling.
Yeah.
It makes the long drives and the, you know, all the other stuff a lot easier, because it wasn't a popular idea, I think, at the time when we first kind of got going. We were like, listen, this is what we want to do. And I think that's just an outward, I think it's really a result of what happens in real life. I mean, we go to work, we're in school, you live your life, and it feels like when you have an actual relationship with somebody, that's where you can really start to talk to them about anything real.
Mm.
And I think with us, you know, we always felt like a lot of music fans, especially secular ones, like we needed to make good enough music to be valid to them, you know, validated even to them that, you know, this is like something real. I respect it. I think this is good art in the first place. And then they peel back the next layer and find out, you know, what the music's about. And it makes the conversation for us, you know, go a lot better. It doesn't seem like we're just kind of preaching at them, even if we don't know them, you know. So I think that's something that we've always tried to do. And, you know, I think God's definitely using us in that way. And in ways that we have, you know, like for the song, like I said before, I mean, in ways that we just had no idea. I mean, a big movie or, you know, a trailer for a TV show or something like that, the song, that 20 seconds that it's on there, people getting turned on to it and then finding out more about the band and then reading the lyrics and then coming to a show. So I think, you know, we're really excited about what's happening.
Need to Breathe. What does that name actually mean? How did you guys come up with it?
Yeah, it's actually a story our drummer had heard about Socrates. And he was teaching some students by the water. And one of the kids asked, you know, how will I know if I'm truly seeking after the purpose of my life?
Mm.
And when, instead of kind of answering, he goes over to the kid and just dumps his head under the water to kind of, you know, gasp him for air, you know, trying to come up. And when he finally lets him up, he says, when you need that thing in your life as much as you need to breathe, that's when you know you're going after the right thing. So I think it was, for us, it was fitting, really, in the time when we were naming the band, because all of us were kind of like, you know, like I said before, we just, it can be a scary decision going into music, I think, as a real career, as a real job, you know. We all felt like we had to do it in a way, like we were, it was a real calling on us all for it. So, yeah. That's where the band name comes from.
Aaron's 120 seconds of getting to know you quiz bonanza. Yee-haw!
Your full name?
William Stanley Reinhardt III.
Dream instrument?
Oh, Les Paul, 1970 Les Paul.
What are you most afraid of?
Failure.
What do you do when you get bored?
Write songs.
Which song do you wish you wrote?
You Too.
Dream car?
A 1978 Bronco, the top comes off.
Really? Worst habit?
I don't know. Maybe biting my fingernails.
Favorite pizza topping?
Mushrooms.
Favorite TV show?
Football.
What time do you usually go to bed?
4 in the morning.
Who was the last person you went to dinner with?
Our bus driver, Mark.
Favorite food?
Barbecue.
How many times did you fail your driver's test?
None.
If you could be any age again, what age would that be?
16.
And most important question, if people are passing through Possum Kingdom, what should they do?
They should keep on driving.
Oh, really? Are there crazy possums there that might attack us?
Maybe so. There's not a whole lot there to do. So.
Maybe I actually should have said South Carolina. What should people do in South Carolina if we're passing through?
Go to the beach.
Yeah?
Gorgeous beaches. And, yeah.
By the way, what's it going to take to get you guys to come to Australia?
I don't know. Pretty much anything, right? I think we would love to do it. So we've talked a lot about it. So hopefully, hopefully in the near future we'll get to I think maybe a couple of days off here might make that possible. So, been hitting it pretty hard. So, but we would absolutely love to.
Please come out.
There's a band out there. We had toured with Revive. I don't know if you know this.
Oh
band.
Yeah.
Because we did the third day tour together.
Right.
So they've invited us out. So hopefully when we get a chance, we will.
Well, definitely come down. I'm signing the petition right now. My name's on the top, and we'll get more names.
All
and
right.
You guys are out here.
Right on. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Bear, so thank you so much for catching up with us today, and thank you so much for your music. It's amazing, especially this brand new album. We are loving it, The Outsiders. Thanks, Bear.
Thank you very much.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.